good afternoon from the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park Casino. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and James Worthy. It's the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. Wherever you are, whatever you do, there is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. We will be giving you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse if you've got the best 30-second take this hour. All right. So the Dodgers season started yesterday with a thud.
Didn't
go quite the way everybody had anticipated.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't say that, Fred. We were out there all day long, so it started with a big bang.
Yeah, we were good. We actually did very well.
We got it right. We got it right to start. We were opening this thing up and opening day for our show, and Petros and Money were with us. It was lively. Batting practice was lively. Everything was good.
Right.
But then the Dodgers didn't do their part.
Right. Well, that slowed things down a little bit. James, you know, what is opening night like for you when you're in the NBA?
It's an exciting night. It's a new start. Because what you've done prior to that, if you thought about your previous season, hopefully it was a successful one. You can, you know, duplicate it. In a lot of cases, you look back and you're in a different mode. So it's an exciting, fresh start. In a lot of cases, you have new faces, new opportunities. So yeah, that's a big day.
Do people make too much of it, James? I mean, I know I was playing. I couldn't wait because training camp was long, and you couldn't wait to get the season started. So I look forward to opening day. But it didn't really determine the whole season. But so many people look into opening day as, okay, this is the sign of things to come.
Yes.
Or this is what's going to happen the rest of the season. But is there too much stock put into opening day?
It definitely does not dictate the rest of the season. There's a lot more that goes into it than that, but in a lot of cases, from a player's perspective, you've been playing a lot of exhibition games. You've been playing against each other, so you want to get some fresh meat, if you will, and play against. But yeah, I think it doesn't dictate the whole season, but it's people are waiting. You know, people who are fanatic baseball fans and they have nothing to do. You know, all. Off season, they just look forward to it, going to the ballpark, getting their fantasy leagues going. Yeah.
Getting out of work and getting out of school, all of that.
Yeah, and baseball's a novel. The NBA is not. The NBA is a book. Baseball's a novel because there are so many games, and every game is a new chapter in the novel. So you kind of hang on every chapter because if you like to read a novel, you want to read every bit of it.
Does that make the NFL a movie?
Yeah, it's
in and out
it's a short
2 hours.
Film. Right, short film. But anyway, the Dodgers come up short yesterday. You heard the game here on AM 570 LA Sports. Clayton Kershaw sprinkled around 8 hits in the game and gave up that one home run to Joe Panik, which everybody was shocked when it went out of the park. But to me, the issue was not Clayton Kershaw yesterday, despite the fact he gave up 8 hits. He allowed one run.
But he got out of trouble. Every time there was some trouble, even in the first inning, he got out of trouble. And that's, you know, classic Clayton. But, God, can you remember, and I know we're going to get into this, Fred, can you remember a pitcher that loses more one-run games? Like, not one-run game, but 1-0 or 2-1 than Clayton Kershaw?
I know. And the issue last night, quite frankly, they didn't get any hits.
None, yes.
It's not about.
He did.
Right, he got hit. It wasn't about what he did. He gave up one run.
Yeah.
What it was about is the Dodgers didn't hit the ball. That's
correct.
The story. Although people are going to point the finger at Kershaw,
of course, right off the bat.
Yep. The pitcher always gets the blame.
Yeah, and the guy who's the big money guy, James, always gets the blame.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're the most paid guy, unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand the dynamics of. I mean, the guys on the team understand. General managers understand what happened. You understand. You follow it. But for those fans sitting in the seat, which is so important for them to understand, yeah, a lot of times they look at the highest paid, but that's not, of course, fair.
Yeah, and for Clayton, you know, there's so much pressure been on him for the last 10 years of this guy is like he's invincible. He's the Dodger. He's the best pitcher in baseball. All these things come on him. But, again, you look at his one-run losses, his 1-0 losses, his 2-1 losses. It's amazing that he's gone through that, and it's he's done his job. Yet again, like you said, Fred, it's all going to come back on him. They're going to start talking about last year in the World Series and how he, you know, Clayton again, they couldn't get it over the hump and all those type of things. But he did his job. And he, not only did he do his job on the mound, but he did his job at the plate as well. He had two hits yesterday.
866-987-2570. 866-987-2570. So, Dodger fans, this is your chance now to weigh in. It's one game. It's only one game. What are your impressions after only one game? You cannot tell me I'm concerned.
How do you weigh in after one game?
Well, they do.
But you got to understand, in baseball, again, it's such a long season, but people react after every single game. They're going to tell you what's wrong. What did Dave Roberts do wrong yesterday? I mean, I have no idea what he did wrong. They just didn't win the game. They didn't hit the ball. But Dodger fans, you've got 30 seconds now to weigh in at 866-987-2570. Your best 30-second take is getting you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brew House. Now, one thing I'll say, I wish Austin Barnes would have played yesterday.
Yeah. Well, but Yasmani hit the ball. Yasmani, I think, had two hits yesterday. So, you could say Austin Barnes, maybe he doesn't play catcher. Maybe he plays a different position because he can play everywhere in the infield. But you can always second guess, but it's a 1-0 game. I mean, really, are we, you know, if you're trying to base the whole season off opening day in a one-run game, yeah, I know it's high profile. It's Clayton Kershaw, and, you know, it was slated to be Bumgarner against Kershaw, and Bumgarner gets hurt, so we got an easy win on opening day. That didn't happen. They shut the Dodgers down. You know, the Dodgers, who had a powerful offense throughout all of spring training, the bats went quiet. And that is that a concern, being that it's one game? I don't think so. But there are a lot of fans out there that believe, oh, my God, this is maybe the sign of things to come.
James, how did you deal with it when fans would react? If the Lakers lost a game that many people thought they should win or you guys thought you should win, you can't win every game. But how would you as a player react when the fans reacted a certain way? And I know players say, look, I don't read, I don't listen, I don't hear. I think you always do kind of hear what the tone of the market is. How would you guys react?
Well, like any other human, I mean, you know, when you're under the microscope and perhaps you're being critiqued, I can remember 1985, we beat the Celtics for the first time ever. And we came back in 1986 and we lost to the Houston Rockets in the Western Conference Finals. And I was immediately put under the microscope I thought I played okay, but we lost. So it had to be somewhat of a scapegoat, I guess, and I was it. I averaged less than I did the year before. Tom McCray and the Twin Towers, Ralph Sampson, and Keeben Olajuwon, they had a pretty good sticky defense. So, yeah, you're human. I mean, you build a shield up. I think most athletes are used to being under the microscope. So over time, from high school, college, especially when you go to professional, you build up this shield. But at some point, when you're being criticized, and maybe you feel like you were a little bit subpar, you kind of go out and correct that immediately.
But you still hear it, though.
I mean, even
back then, you heard it.
Absolutely.
Because nowadays, you can hear it on Twitter, you can social media, is everywhere. So you hear it everywhere. You can't go anywhere without seeing it or hearing it. But even back then, you kind of heard that and felt that, right?
You heard it, and then, you know, perhaps writers are talking to the general manager about what's wrong with Worthy and Pat Riley. So they began to squeeze. And so you have to find a way to perform is what you have to do. You have to find a way to dig out of that. That's your job. So, yeah, but you definitely feel it. And when you're driving home on the freeway, sometimes you get distracted and you're daydreaming about all of it. So, I would say I was able to keep my shield pretty strong because I was pretty comfortable within. But at some point when everything's coming down on you, have to, you know, it gets next to your skin.
866-987-2570, Dodger fans. If you want to weigh in on game one, we got a lot of games, but if you want to weigh in on game one, your best 30-second take is getting you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. And don't forget, we're going to put a grand in your hand. Starts every day at 6 with Dan Patrick, and then every weekday at 20 past the hour, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Keep listening for your chance to win. It's brought to you by Cunning Dental. Missing teeth? Call Cunning Dental today for free exam. On your cell phone, dial #250 and say Petros Dentist. We're at the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park. We invite you to come on down. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. When we come back, we'll sprinkle your calls in, and we'll let you hear from Kirk Gibson. The interview we did yesterday, so many people reacted and responded to it. We'll let you hear from it. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, and James Worthy at the Rays Lounge. People are starting to arrive at Hollywood Park on AM 570 LA Sports. Coming to you today from the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park, the casino. Come on down. Grab a bite to eat, win a couple of bucks, and spend a few hours with us. We're excited to be here and welcome you on down. In a moment, we'll hear the interview with Kirk Gibson from yesterday. But first, let's start taking your calls at 866-987-2570. We're going to sprinkle these in throughout the hour. Let's go. Tommy in Los Angeles, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. You don't think that the sky is falling now, do you?
You know what? I'm in semi-panic mode right now. And the reason I say that is because I was looking at Kershaw, and I really feel that he looked fatigued. And that there's a lot of games coming up, man, and you know, 160-plus. I'm really concerned as how long he's going to last the season. I really feel he looked fatigued, and I'm really pissed off at why Jock Peterson is there. I'm a big Jock Peterson fan. Toles should be there right now. In addition to that, I really feel we're going to have to bring in that White Witch early this year.
Over 30 seconds.
Oh.
James, what did I tell you?
Oh.
What did I tell you about people?
I didn't know. I mean, I'm a big Dodger fan. Don't follow him like you guys do. But I would think after one game, he's saying that the guy is fatigued already.
I know.
God, boy, these fans are experts, man.
Hardcore.
Richard in Bell Gardens, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Dodgers should have rolled the dice yesterday and signed Gibson to a one-day contract. I bet he would have made contact. Kershaw is not the savior. Dodger bats need to wake up. When he pitches, these one-run losses are ridiculous. That's it.
All right.
He agrees with me. There I mean, I've never seen, seriously, I mean, it's on the surface, and maybe, it, you know, the stats don't back it up because I haven't looked it up, but it seems to me that this guy, Kershaw, over the last, at least, I know he's been around for a long time, but over at least the last 7-8 years, he has lost more close one-run games than any other pitcher in the league. I mean, not only like one-run game, but 1-0. 2-1, where the Dodgers can't produce any runs for the guy.
Well, if he's losing 1-0 or 2-1, I got to tell you, he's doing his job.
Yes.
No doubt.
He's doing his job. Carol and Whittier, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead. Carol, you there?
No, Carol.
Did we lose Carol?
We lost Carol.
All right. Let's go. Sean in Long Beach. Go ahead.
This is Sam, but I was there last evening. It was a great game. Great to be back. As far as my concerns for the Dodgers this season, my rookie still hasn't even moved. You got to keep in mind that although Mr. 22, the Mr. Goto pitching the past day, he got the loss. It's one of those losses as a starting pitcher that should be overlooked because of the lack of run support, which has always been Kershaw's Achilles heel, along with CK giving up the solo ball, the long ball. Also, last point, understand that our heart and soul of the team is not there, the Red Dream. When Turner goes, the Dodgers goes. You got to keep in mind that Roberts has Puig, our number 8 hitter, as number 3 hitter. Over and out. I'm not concerned. Dodgers World Series winner.
No, you got him. He said over and out.
Now,
let him go. Let him go, Kev. Let him go.
Let him go?
Yeah. He said over and out, but he strung
it
up.
Over and out, and he kept talking.
I know. But let him go, Kev.
All right, Rob.
Let him go.
All right. That was close.
We'll get more of your calls in a second, but now let's give you $1,000.
Answer the phone. If you're going to text and try to win, you got to answer the phone when somebody calls you back. It may have a block number, unknown number. Number that you don't like, number that you don't believe in. Answer the phone. That's the only way we can put a grand in your hand, Fred.
All right. We are at Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park. We invite you to come on down and spend some time with us. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Kirk Gibson. He threw out the first pitch last night, and so many people talked about that interview. We want to give you a chance to hear it in case you missed it. So here is our interview yesterday with Kirk Gibson.
2 times in 2 days. We haven't seen each other in 30 years. That's special.
The second time that we've run into each other. What does it mean for you to be here tonight, Kirk?
We talked about it yesterday. It's, you know, I'm here. I'm going to bounce the first pitch or overthrow it or do whatever I'm going to do. But it just is significant that I'm representing the whole Tigers or Dodgers organization, my teammates, the coaches, the fans. It was a special year. And as I told you previously in some of our conversations, I get somewhat humbled by moments like this, and I don't ever want to take anything away, though I'm going to be the guy out there on the mound today for the first pitch. I want everybody to know, as represents the whole team, everybody who gave everything they had. We were not picked to finish where we finished. We faced the almighty Mets and the almighty A's. We were heavy underdogs. And because of who we were and collectively became during the year, that's how we beat them. Talent-wise, maybe not as well as good on paper, but as a team, Tommy did a heck of a job. And, you know, from the scouts to, Fred Clair, the GM, and, of course, the O'Malley's. And the fans, we had a little bit of fun that year. So, they've always been good to me in that year and continue to do so. And hopefully we'll have a really special celebration today. And then they can go ahead and celebrate it at the end of the year with another championship in 2018.
You know, it really does boggle the mind that your career in Los Angeles was basically a cup of coffee. You were here. There are many stars and many great players that have been in this city. But your moment, your home run, always ranks as the number one sports moment in Los Angeles history. When you hear that, what do you think?
Why me? I was lucky. I'm grateful. But, you know, when you play for 17 years in the big leagues, you have a lot of downtime, a lot of failures. You have a lot of things that don't go well and people doubt you. You have to continue to fight through. And my parents, you took it. And I used to tell them of our day. And when we hit that home run, the stadium went crazy. I was talking to Mary Hart and Bert last night, and they said they were walking out to their car. And the first thing they felt, they thought it was an earthquake. And after that, so it's a special memory. It's a special time here, especially in the history of the game. I was fortunate to have done that, but it's significant that I never quit. I thought about it. I had some great people along the way to tell me to keep going because, you know, it would pay off in the end, and it has.
Now, at what point in time did you come to the realization that you had Parkinson's?
When they told me it was April of 2015, I was on doing my open for the Tigers radio or TV, and I felt stress and anxiety like I'd never felt before. I mean, I love moments like that. Like tonight when I throw the first pitch out, you know, I was always been pumped up. I'll be pumped up tonight, but Parker will be gnawing at me a little bit. I'll have to deal with that. But I just knew because I had not been feeling good, and I had a lot of orthopedic things. I thought I had surgery on my neck, my shoulder, my knee, all on the left side. And they thought it was just old injuries. And after that day, I said, this is more than that. And I contacted a friend of mine, and he got me in to see a doctor, and they diagnosed me basically in 2 days. And, you know, it's a kick in the butt. And, you know, I now have a new normal, and I now have kind of expanded the mission of my foundation, the Kirk Gibson Foundation, to help people that maybe are living a similar story. I mean, looking back, there were a lot of signs. But we missed it. We didn't know it. And once you know who your opponent is, you can go after him and you can attack and you can try and deal with it. And I'm promoting to do that to others. And ultimately, we want to find a cure because there is no cure for Parkinson's disease.
All right, guys, you want to ask Kirk a couple of questions?
Fred, you're doing such a great job. We're riveted over here and really enjoying the interview. Of course, we're thinking about 1988, but you know, when I hear about Kirk, I think about Michigan State. You know, we just had Steve Garvey on, and he was a great cornerback at Michigan State. But do people talk to you a lot about your football days and how good of a football player you were?
Yeah, from time to time, you know, I got inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame. The National Collegiate Football Hall of Fame. Am I...
You know, we're getting a little interference. You want to go up one more? Let's see if we can. I know we don't want to go all the way out here.
That's good. Anyway, I was inducted into the National College Football Hall of Fame this year, so we've talked about football a little more than normal. And realistically, and for me to be fair, I liked football better than baseball.
Oh, it's, there you go.
Good answer.
It fuels my personality. I liked contact. I was fast. I was big.
Really
fast. I thought I was going to be in the NFL. But you know what? This is everybody that's listening to me. You think you know what you're doing. I was 21 years old, and I thought I was going to be a top NFL pick the next year. I wanted to be, and my football coach asked me that question. Do you want to be a – this is my junior year. Do you want to be a top pick in the NFL, top three, top five max? I said, yeah. He says, you sure? I said, yeah. He says, go play baseball. I hadn't played baseball in 3 years. I said, play baseball? What's that going to do? He says, trust me. It was Daryl Rogers. He's 87 years old. I just saw him a month ago in Palm Desert. We see each other every year. And, you know, he just understood. And, you know, you have mentors along the way and people who sponsor you. That was a huge moment. I went out and played baseball. And by the end of that spring, I was drafted as number one pick for my home team, Tigers. And, you know, I'd made a deal that I could come back and play my senior year of football after I played my junior year of baseball in the pros that summer. And then I agreed that I'd give football up after that. And, you know, 17 years later, a couple world championships, met great people, traveled all around the world, great teammates, special moments, some tough times, some good times, some great lessons. And I hope that I continue to be a better person and give back. And hopefully there's still many out there that will continue to make me better. And you're always looking. So you think you know what you're doing. I always ask everybody, you know, what are you going to be doing in 5 years? Not many people think about it, but it's good to dream about it, to think about it. But stay tuned, as it may be 180 degrees different than what you think you're going to be.
Kirk Gibson is with us on M570 LA Sports. Before we let you go, and I know you have to go address the media, in right field, they have painted the seat blue where your legendary home run hit. And all of the proceeds from that seat this year will go to your foundation. You've worked with the Dodgers. That seat is sold out for the entire season. Talk about it.
Yeah, it's great. I used to walk, when I walk into Dodger Stadium, every time I look out there at that seat, and I always said, seat 88, I named it for my own personal reference. And, you know, obviously I visualized what happened that night because it's a good memory and it helps positivity within myself and helps me write new affirmations and imprint the information in a positive fashion. And, you know, when you do that, I believe that you have a, you know, I used to have the saying, I times V equals R. Imagery times vividness equals reality. How vividly you can imagine something will determine how real it becomes. Now, I'm getting deep now, but I hope everybody's following me here.
Go ahead.
So, you know, that's what that signifies for me. And the Dodgers have been unreal as far as joining forces with the Kirk Gibson Foundation. I welcome you to go to the website, kirkgibsonfoundation.org. Read about what my mission is, and my stories in there about the foundation, about many of the organizations we're working with to try and help many others who suffer from this disease and, you know, ultimately try and find a cure. And this is the tip of the iceberg. And I plan on being around here in the future, and we're getting into bigger and better things. And for this year, it's Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers. My friend, it's good to see you again. Thanks for coming by, Kirk. And actually, I got to tell you, we're fortunate we're standing here, and I saw Kirk yesterday. You look great. I got to tell you, you really do look great.
About the only thing I can really do good right now is run. So I can still beat you in a race.
There's no question about it. He could beat you in a race.
He still beats you in a race,
yeah,
Fred.
And he can. And he was so kind and so generous with his time yesterday. And people were on their feet last night during the pregame festivities. Yeah. And when he threw out the first pitch and he just gunned the ball.
Yeah, no, it was, like he could still play. And the thing about it, I love the whole theatrics of the leading up to it. You know, he came out of the dugout and he had the bat and he stepped in the on-deck circle and he took a few swings and then he walked up to the plate. So that whole thing was great because it brought everybody back to 88. And that moment, like you talked about, from an L.A. and from just a sports perspective, top five moments.
It was indeed a moment that I think everyone will always remember.
I remember 1988, the Dodgers set the tone. I remember when Kirk Gibson stepped up to the plate with one leg. All he could do was swing the bat. And you had we had a feeling that Lasorda put him up there. You know, an injured guy. I was thinking maybe they're going to, you know, bring in a replacement for him. But he set the tone. When he hit that home run and the Dodgers went on to win, the Lakers followed right behind them in 88.
Yeah.
So that was that set the tone for the city, in my opinion, the great Kirk Gibson.
Amazing.
All right, Vic, come on, let's go. Come on, Vic, come on.
Come on,
Ray's Lounge at Hollywood Park. You come on down, and now let's make everybody the smartest person in the room.
Is it real?
They're real and they're spectacular.
Or fake news?
Fake.
I got James. I don't lose this game.
You ready?
Rodney's pretty good at this. Okay, I'm new, but I'm ready.
Okay, because you've been through it a couple of times.
I've been through it a couple of times. I need to read more. That's what I need to do.
No. It's better to just go off the top of your head.
He's warming up.
Don't trust Fred, though. Fred,
you got to watch him.
Yeah, he'll lead you down the wrong road.
And when have I done that?
All the time.
That's fair. According to a new book, young Tiger Woods warned to stay away from Michael Jordan. According to a new book about Tiger Woods, a family attorney warned a young Tiger about associating with Michael Jordan. The attorney expressed concern to Tiger that Michael would be a bad influence and that Michael would try to use Tiger. Rodney, is that real or fake?
God, it sounds so fake. It sounds so fake because at that time, Michael Jordan was a guy that, you wanted to emulate. You wanted to be like and be like Mike. So it sounds so fake that I think it's true. I think it's real.
James.
I'm gonna have to say it's fake. I know that Tiger and Michael were close, and I think Michael was giving him some advice. I'm going to go fake. I can't say that Michael is a bad influence on anybody.
You going to say fake or real?
It's fake.
It's real. Oh, for one.
I couldn't say that Michael is a bad influence because he's not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's okay. Bad
it
advice.
It sounded so fake, I thought it was real. And I
even
got it
though
right.
It's real, that's bad advice.
Yeah.
From Tiger's advice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one.
Anyway.
L.A. Lakers Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma listen to the Grateful Dead at Shootaround. NBA reporter Jovan Buha posted a video to his Instagram of Lakers Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma practicing a post-shootaround three-point shooting contest with the Grateful Dead blasting in the background. The track being played was Sugar Magnolia. James, is that real or fake?
Bill Walton is a huge Grateful Dead fan, has a tattoo on his arm. So does Luke Walton. Luke Walton allows a variety of music to be played at the Laker practice. So I'm going to say that that's true.
Says it's real, Rodney.
Yeah, going against the young kids and hip-hop, and Lonzo's got a hip-hop album out, I think that Luke maybe wanted to change the script a little bit. Hey, let's change it up. Had some influence on what music was played during that time. So I'm going to go, this real. This is real.
All right. Rodney's got a...
Rodney not only has the answer, but he has the post-answer dance.
Oh, yeah. If you were down here watching this, you'd see him dance.
I always feel like I'm at Apollo, and he's like the guy that's pulling me off the stage. You know what I mean?
Sandman. Getting him.
Sandman.
Company that makes the machine that puts people's faces in beer foam threatens to sue the Yankees. Much has been made of the Yankees being forced by Major League Baseball to stop the sales of beers with their players' likenesses in the foam. The company that created the foam printing machine, the Blue Point Brewing Company, has threatened to sue the Yankees for pulling out of their season-long deal. Now, we know that's a real story, the foam and the faces in the foam. Rodney, is that real or fake?
That they have a lawsuit against the Yankees?
That they will sue because the Yankees signed a season-long deal. And now the Yankees are pulling out.
You know what? They got a deal. That's a big, big situation that they came up with. It's very creative. And had a deal with the Yankees, and now that the Yankees are pulling the deal, yeah, I would sue too. I'm going to say that's real.
All right, you're saying they're suing.
Yes.
James.
They're suing. I I think the Yankees are such a huge organization that they probably had some language in there that probably said, we don't have to go all season long with you guys if we're not making any money. So I don't know. I'm gonna go with that's a fake story. I mean, it's hard to sue the Yankees, isn't it?
It's all fake news. Oh, that's funny stuff.
James is dancing now.
It's rare that I even get a lead on this show.
All right, you're back at it. Shaquille O'Neal says he once spent $70,000 at Walmart because he is impatient. Shaq was featured on HBO's Real Sports this week and said the following: I spent about $70,000 in Walmart one night. I spent so much, American Express thought my credit card was stolen. James, is that real or fake?
You know, Shaq is a generous guy, man. He's given some generous tips to people. He's, you know, but $71,000 in Walmart. Shaq didn't grow up like that. His mama didn't raise him like that. I'm gonna go fake on that.
$70,000, Rodney.
At Walmart. That's a lot of stuff at Walmart. But it's like Shaq though. Shaq does different things like that. So, yeah, I'm going to go real. That's real.
He's a generous guy.
You regained the lead.
Yes. Yeah. Especially, he probably was buying for other people, too. Yes. That's the question I should have asked.
Buying in bulk.
Ray Allen is not happy about Hall of Fame snub. The 2018 Basketball Hall of Fame inductees were revealed yesterday. Ray Allen was a finalist who was not named, and he isn't happy about it. Ray said this to the AP. I'm surprised, to be honest. It doesn't sit well with me. I'm not sure what else I could have done. Rodney, real or fake?
I'm with him. I don't know what else he could have done. You know, a couple titles with two different teams. All-time three-point shooter. I'm going to say that's real.
Yeah. James.
Well, I remember the process, and I remember the first two nominations I didn't get in. So,
you got first-hand knowledge.
Yeah,
man.
I didn't get in the first two times. Damn. And I think what they're looking for is they're looking to see how you're going to react. Because I was a little upset, too. But I was like, thank you. It's an honor to be nominated. So I don't think Ray Allen went that way. I'm going to say it's fake.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
So this is it for the win.
Oh, man.
You guys are tied.
I forgot. You know, James went through the whole process. He knew more. That was a trick question. I got bamboozled.
Yeah, if you were to get inducted to the Hall of Fame, if they didn't let you in the first time, you'd have some kind words to say
just
to make
so you
sure.
Get the next time.
There you go.
Kevin Durant is a big fan of LeVar Ball. Warrior star Kevin Durant admitted on Bill Simmons' podcast this week that he's a fan of LeVar Ball. Asked if he thought LeVar would keep free agents from choosing the Lakers, Durant said, no. Tell them how much I love LeVar. You know why I love LeVar? Because he reminds me of a normal AAU dad. Rodney.
No, that's fake all the way along. Kevin Durant would not say that about LeVar Ball. Absolutely not. That he is in favor and likes LeVar Ball.
Not when you got Steph Curry up there. No, you're already made a big move. I'm gonna go fake too. I'm gonna have to go fake.
What?
It ends at a tie.
I still don't believe it.
I don't either.
Jason, is it real?
I'm a fan of LeVar Ball.
I still don't believe that. There's got to be something more to it than that.
I encourage you to Google it.
Oh.
I encourage you to Google it.
I can't see that coming out of his mouth that he's a fan of LeVar.
Kevin Durant's going against the grade on everything nowadays.
He's a little rogue. He is. But, man, I can't believe that.
Unbelievable.
We are going to award the winner of BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. If you're online, we'll try to sneak a couple more in. Then we'll award that $100 gift card. Lonzo's out tonight. We'll talk about some Lakers. And I think one of the most interesting stories of the day, a high school player has decided, I'm not going to college. I'm going right to the NBA, but not actually the NBA. I'm going right to the G League. I'm just going to the G League. There'll be no one and done for me. All that coming up. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, James Worthy, Ray's Lounge, Hollywood Park. Come on down on AM 570 LA Sports. Coming to you today from the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park, Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, James Worthy. Do we want to sneak in a few more Dodger calls now?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go Jason in Paris. He's in France. It's a long distance
Paris
call.
Or Paris, California?
No, he's in France. Paris, go ahead, France. Jason. You're on AM 570 LA Sports.
Bonjour.
I'm not in panic mode right now. The Dodgers happened to lose a good ball game. The pitching was good. The bullpen looked spectacular. Even the hitting, even though it didn't turn out our way, they were patient at the plate. Jock Peterson didn't strike out. I mean, he put the ball in play for the last out. I'm okay with that.
All right, appreciate it, Jason. Let's go Mitchell on Topanga Canyon. Mitchell, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I'm not worried. I wish we had tolls. And it's something very suspicious with that commissioner and the Yankees and Jeter working for the Yankees. We had then. We had more talent to give the trade, make the trade. And for some bizarre reason, we didn't get Stan. But we're going to come through. I think we have a lot of outfielders. The hitting will come through. And hopefully we get another rookie of the year. And Kershaw gets his side.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Sean in Long Beach, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead. Oh, that was Sean? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, Frankie in North Hollywood, go ahead.
Come on, Frankie.
It'll be fine. You guys hear me?
Yeah, we got
Dodgers
you.
Dodgers will be fine. I'm not worried. And the first caller said Kershaw was tired. Did he see how hot it was out there? Of course he was going to be sweating it up. Now, I think this is the problem is, I think we like the thought of Kemp, but Kemp is either feast or famine. He's not going to work out. Tolls would have made a difference. And I think we're going to see that pretty soon if they keep Kemp on the team. I'm out.
All right. Appreciate it, Frankie.
Wow.
Thanks very much. If you're
blaming Matt Kemp.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to take the blame.
Right. Nobody hit, though.
They lost one game. Somebody's fault.
Chris Taylor's fault.
One game, man. Come on.
Right. It's one game. But, you know, the whole season's over now, so just ought to pack it in. They're not going to go unbeaten, nor are the Angels, who blew a four-run lead yesterday and lost an extra innings in Oakland. If you didn't get in today for BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, make sure you get in early Monday. We take as many as we can before the end of the hour. BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, the place to go with the all-new happy hour, including $4 BJ's signature handcrafted beer, half-off mini deep dish pizza, and don't forget, BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, the one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. Your winner today for the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour is Richard in Bell Gardens. Congratulations, Richard. You get a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Wherever you are and whatever you do.
Who was that?
That was somebody bringing out the plates at BJ's. There's a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. That's all I can.
That's true.
That's it.
They dropped the plates in BJ's.
That's what happens when you come in after curfew.
Yeah,
you're trying to sneak something in the kitchen.
Oh.
You wake up the whole house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pots
James,
and pans flying everywhere.
You sound like you're speaking from experience, man.
Exactly.
You
know
what I'm saying?
All right, let's get started on this now, and then we'll carry it over. A couple of things we want to talk about involving the Lakers and the NBA. First, Lonzo's out tonight, James. Should they just shut him down now?
Injury prone, seems like. The body is not ready for NBA, night after night, going up against future Hall of Fame point guards every night. I would not risk it. Only 8 games left. He was already missed, 9 games or so, I believe, or more, with a knee injury on the other knee. So, to me, it dictates he's got to get in the gym. He's got to get NBA strong where he can – perform night in and night out. It was a kind of a fluke injury. He kind of backed into somebody and didn't see it. But still, I would shut it down. I think, you don't want to risk hurting somebody. You want him over the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I think, he's proven that he's had a pretty good rookie year. Given all the scrutiny that was on him and all the pressure that was on him, whether it be from his dad, from the Lakers, just from outside and inside. But you look what he did and the way the Lakers played when he was on the court. It was a successful season for him. And you don't want to risk the chance of him missing the opening day or opening, week next year by having him play through an injury. So shut it down, call it a day, and just regroup and have him get really, like James said, get in the weight room, get in the training for next season.
James, as you look at the season, who was the best rookie in the Lakers this year? Was it Kyle Kuzma?
I love Kyle Kuzma. In the summer league, he proved himself, okay? So, to me, he had already, given me what I wanted to see. I am a huge Josh Hart fan. And to you know, and I'm going to have to say Cal did have the best rookie year. You can't argue that. But I loved Josh Hart, what he brings to the table. 4 years of college. He's been on the big stage at Villanova. He's not afraid. He has the science and the theory of the game. Double-double guy every time he comes in the game, guarding anybody from point guards to Carmelo Anthony with success. There's a lot of things you don't see on the stat sheet that he provides, a lot of intangibles. So I love Cal Kuzma. Obviously, he had the best year, but my personal was Josh Hart and what he brings to the table.
Well, there's one name you didn't mention in there, and we'll get into that when we come back. Plus, the 19-year-old who said, I'm not going to college. I'm out. There'll be no one and done for me. I'm going right to the G League. But I think you have to be picked by the G League. You just can't show up and raise your hand.
Well, yeah, if it's got to be like minor league baseball. If we're going to have high school guys go to G League, it's got to be kind of like, you know, kind of like minor league baseball. They draft you, you come out, and you go G League, and yeah.
Apparently, he's just showing up at the G League. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and James Worthy.
He must be a bad boy if he's just showing up.
You and me next, Fred. We're going to the G League, baby.
We're at Hollywood Park now on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and James Worthy from the Rays Lounge at the Hollywood Park Casino. We'll be here till 2. We invite you to come on down and spend some time with us. This hour, we're going to talk about a player that says, I'm going right to the G League. I'm not going to play in the NBA. Well, that will end the one and done. But again, don't you have to be selected by the G League? We will get into that. Before we broke for the top of the hour, we were talking about the best rookie on the Lakers. James said he loved Josh Hart. He said, numbers-wise, Kyle Kuzma by far was the top rookie. The one guy you didn't mention in your conversation about who was the best rookie this year for the Lakers was Lonzo Ball.
Yeah. I think Lonzo's a phenomenal player. I think he had a good year, injured, was out for a while. You know, I think he's a phenomenal player, but my pick, based on what I've seen, I still think Lonzo has to be more of a threat, and he has started to be more aggressive going to the bucket. But, yeah, those are my choices. I mean, he did have a game where he only had 5 points in the game, and Luke Walton said he was the best guy on the floor. So, yeah, he's had a good year, but my choice, based on what I've seen and what I project, I think Josh Hart had a pretty good year. And, you know, people are going to argue me down and say Kuzma did, but that's my choice.
Yeah. I can respect that. Josh Hart was a welcome addition. I think that, to your point, James, that him going to college and spending that time in college really got him mature enough to really come in as a rookie and not be in awe of the situation, be in awe of the game itself, night in and night out. You could always, you know, it's rare to find a rookie that you can count on. Always count on him. When you put him in the game, you trust him. You know what I mean? And that's across the board around the league, is that you find very few rookies that you can just trust. And he's a guy for the Lakers that they can trust. That being said, I still think Kyle Kuzma is the breakout star and the guy that, from a rookie standpoint, that they stole in this draft. And he showed it and showed up and to the opposite of what we talk about with Lonzo. He's a guy that at the end of the game and in the fourth quarter, he wants the ball. Give it to me. Give it to me. I want to take the last shot. I want to be the guy. And he's not shied away from that. So I like that dog in him a little bit.
There,
and that's
go.
Something that we wish that Lonzo would have a little bit more of, and maybe he can. But for right now, Kyle Kuzma is the guy for me.
I can't argue with you on that. He's not afraid. He will not deter, and he's not intimidated. And he's got a will. Heart efficient every night. And
yeah,
like I said, the things you don't see on the stat sheet. So, yeah, I can't argue with you there. I just love Josh Hart.
Then what is it about Lonzo? What were the expectations too great? Did people expect too much from him? Because it doesn't matter what Kuzma does, and it doesn't matter what Josh Hart does. Everything is always centered around Lonzo.
Number two pick. And everyone thought he was going to come in and do what Magic Johnson did, or Michael Jordan. The hype was so, you know, large Fred, that a lot of people thought he was going to come in and blow up, like, I don't know, like LeBron James or somebody.
Yeah.
But I knew better. I knew after 1 year of college, you look at the body, you know, when you get in against grown men, the fact that he had so much hype and a target on his back, and let's face it, his dad put that target on his back, you know. And so that was a big hole that he was in to start with. And so he's got a lot to learn night after night after night. Sometimes he wasn't there some nights. Whereas I think sometimes Josh Hart's there every night.
Yeah.
Every night, every play. And I understand it because he has a little bit more experience. Lonzo Ball had to go up against CP3 one night. You know, Steph Curry the next night. And it's tough for him. So he's got as good a rookie season that he had. He's got a lot of stuff he's got to work on.
Yeah, and James, you mentioned it. You know, you said that the quote from Luke Walton that, you know, he only had 5 points, but he was the best player on the court that night. But and that could be debatable, right, mm-hmm. Depending on what game you were watching. And, of course, that's coming from the coach. But you look back, you know, you talked about comparisons to Magic. You know, Magic could score 5 points, but be very dominant in the game. And it was very evident, it was clear, it was 100% that he was the guy on the court that ran the show and made it happen. Whereas in Lonzo's case, it's a little bit debatable of whether or not, yeah, okay, you know, he did his thing, he passed and all that stuff, but did he have the impact or at least the presence that a Magic Johnson would have, and that's we're having those same numbers.
Absolutely. And Magic Johnson would get in your face.
Yeah.
On the court or in the locker room and demand what he wanted. Now, you might not like it, but that was the kind of leader he was. And I think Lonzo's got to learn that. Sometimes I see him, you know, go away from the competition. And at that position, as much as he has the ball in his hand, he's starting to chip away at being more of a threat once he gets into the paint. But, you know, 1 year of college, you know, somebody was telling me the other day, his best friend could be a senior in high school. You know what I mean? So he's young.
Right,
he's
right.
young. And, you know, I don't want to make excuses for him, but I get it because I remember my rookie year. I had to learn, you know, on the fly like that. But he's good, but he's got a lot of homework to do, a lot of homework.
We did this the other day, and Rodney, you were off. I did it with Rob Parker.
Mm-hmm.
If we were redrafting right now, James, okay, and we went down all of the NBA rookies and said we're going to redraft. So whatever the order was, it was, but now we've seen a little sample size of what they're doing, so we're going to redraft. Would you have taken Lonzo Ball number two? Because neither Rob nor myself had him number two.
I would have taken a strong look at Porzingis. Because I think Porzingis was available, if I'm not mistaken.
To trade?
No. This was the year before.
Oh, the year before. Okay.
Markkanen was available.
Markkanen, yeah.
Markkanen.
Yeah. I was
Donovan
thinking,
Mitchell.
Okay, I got my years confused because I was thinking Porzingis was the year before.
Yeah.
Yes, I take Lonzo Ball because I see the investment and I see the projected out a few years, he is going to be an amazing player. The way he enhances players around him. And if the Lakers had really better shooters on the perimeter, you could see a different, you know, aspect of Ball's, you know, talent. The way he gets the ball up 40, 50 feet, that pass. I saw him make one the other day, catch and shoot. He has phenomenal vision. So, yes, I'd take him size 6'6". I think he had a better defensive year than he did offensively, very active from the weak side. So, yeah, I like him, and I see what's going to happen in the future. He's going to get better shot, better threat. I'd take it.
Yeah, you know what? I would, too. Given all that we've seen this season, I would take him because if you look at the Lakers and what they're trying to do, you know, and everybody's like, you know, we're positioning to get a big-time free agent here or two. You know, really two and definitely one. So if you're positioning yourselves to do that and you've got a guy that is unselfish like Lonzo, is not about I need to go out and put it up 50 times a night and score 40 points. then it works good for you in the future as you bring in, say, a Paul George or a LeBron or Kawhi Leonard, whoever you may bring in, it works good for you because you got a guy that can distribute the ball for a long period of time. So I think it worked well for him. I think I would have done the same thing based on what the Lakers are looking for long term. And you've got some scorers in Kuzma and Ingram going forward that's going to grow with you. So having that guy that can be a distributor, I think, was a good call.
And even though I missed the question, I got the question wrong, fake or real, guys like Durant, LeBron, they get it. They know what a point guard's job is, and they see his specialties. I remember doing a college game with Steve Nash.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he was up in Santa Clara. And everybody's scouts were like, I don't know. He's too small. He's not quick enough. And I was doing the game. I was like, boy, I would love to be on the other side of some of those passes, being the recipient, because I could see how he played the game, and he was way beyond the players that he was playing with. Fast forward, he's two-time MVP, and I think Lonzo Ball has a lot more of that in him. I think you just give him time, get a little stronger, because he's a hell of an enhancer. He's not a Steph Curry. He's not going to go out and get 50. Yeah. You know, players the today's fan likes to see the flash and the scoring and the three-pointers. They like to see that on a nightly basis. Well, teams who understand what they need, you need a point guard. You need a Brady. You need a Rodney Pete back there as a quarterback. You know, somebody who's going to stabilize things, get you organized, and – can make it so much easier for guys to score. I remember when Magic Johnson left the Lakers and retired. And I thought I was pretty damn good until he left. And I just realized how much easier he made the game for everybody. So I think Lonzo has a big upside coming.
Yeah. So is next year the year we'll find out who he's going to be?
I think so. I think every rookie has that first year. You've never played 82 games. Your body gets to 34, 35 games, it just shuts down.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I remember having to guard Bernard King on a Tuesday. Catch a bus.
Bernard King, boy.
Catch a bus from New York to Philly and have Dr. J on a Wednesday. Woo. You get Thursday off. You get Thursday off, but Friday you got Larry Bird in Boston. So that's what you don't get in college. You get a good player every week or every 2 weeks. And that's what Ball is getting used to. He's been the man at UCLA. Now he's playing against grown men who want to eat him up every night. So he's got to figure out a way to prepare for that. He will.
Yeah.
We're at the Rays Lounge in Hollywood Park. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and James Worthy. When we come back, the story we were telling you about, this guy says, I'm not going as a one and done. I'm going right to the G League. Of course, the issue is somebody's got to pick you first. On AM 570 LA Sports. Coming to you live from the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park. Friends coming down saying hello. A friendly group joins us down here. We look forward to it.
Friendly groups, old fans, old friends, all that.
All come down. Okay, right now, before we go any further, somebody needs to get $1,000. Let's put a grand in your hand.
Let's do it. Answer the phone, block number, unknown number. Crazy number, too many numbers, whatever it is. Answer the phone. That's the only way we can put a grand in your hand. Answer the phone.
Fred. If you text to the number and your phone rings, you need to answer the phone. It's that simple. If you don't text to the number, then don't answer your phone. But if you do, it's the only way you can possibly win. All right, so much has been made about the one and done in the NBA trying to figure out a way to take care of the issues with college basketball and the one and done players. So there's a young man, and his name is Darius Bazley. He's a high school senior, a top prospect for the 2019 NBA draft, and he committed to Syracuse. So he was going to be a one and done. Now he is reconsidered, and he is not going to Syracuse. His decision is, I'm going to enter the G League. I'm not going to be a one and done. I'm going right to the G League. And then, after I spend a year in the G League, I will be eligible for the NBA draft. So this begs a number of questions. The first question is, are you allowed to raise your hand and announce, I'm going to the G League. Number two.
But he's going to the draft.
No. Oh, he's going to the G League draft. Right. The G League has a draft. But the G League is operated by NBA clubs. Hmm. And some NBA clubs have guys on split contracts. So they're selected. They go to training camp. They don't make the team. They send them down to the G League. Right?
Caruso, he can play a certain amount of games in the G League, and there's a number of games they can bring him up, but they all coincide. They're all the same. So I think it's maybe like, I don't know how many games. But, yeah, you can do both.
You can do both. So because he wants to go to the G League, what means he's going to be in the G League? In other words, this mindset, oh, I'm just going to go play there, but what if you're not selected to play in the G League? What if you're not selected to play, period? What are you going to do? You just don't knock on the door, do you, James, and say, give me a uniform, I'm here.
If you submit yourself to the G League draft, that means you've given up your opportunity to go back to college, I'm assuming. That's over. So if you don't get drafted, I mean, you better be pretty damn sure that you're going to get drafted. Because if you don't get drafted, you can't go back and get your college thing.
Can't go back to Syracuse.
You're stuck in the Rucker League, my friend, or the Drew League, or, you know, trying to maneuver your way into the basketball world. So unless you're absolutely sure, if these scouts are knocking down your door and saying, or, you know, if no one is asking you to come to their team right now and you got to put yourself into the G League draft, I think what that's saying is you might want to go to college.
Yeah. It's so crazy, because why would you give up that or announce that you're going to forego your scholarship to Syracuse to enter into the G League when there's not a G League draft yet, right? You don't know what's going to happen. Do you have to do that? Do you have to say, okay, I'm done with my college, and I'm not going to – because he's done. He can't go back and say, give me my scholarship back. And I didn't get drafted, or I didn't go where I thought I was going to go. First of all, it's a G League draft. Let's be honest. It's a G League draft.
It's like shirts and skins.
Yes, exactly. I mean, but you're going to forego all of that to say, I'm just going to go play the G League. I don't know. I don't know if it's the best decision.
Against grown men. Against guys who are fighting for a career. And why? Yeah. Why would you think, okay,
play in Syracuse. Go. Play that 1 year
in
Syracuse.
And I'm about to say, that's where Boeheim's full of knowledge. You might need a Coach K for a year or Roy Williams playing against some pretty damn good basketball players. Why put yourself in that position? I don't know what's going on in these young men's mind to think that they're that good that they could just forego college.
Nobody's going to see you in the G League.
No.
I mean, you go and look, Syracuse went from a play-in team to – they beat your Arizona State team.
They sure did.
They went from a play-in team to the Elite Eight, and everybody started to get to know these kids.
On television once a week at least.
Absolutely. So why not go there? Get your name out there, and they see how you can play against competition. And because in the G League, I can't tell you any player in the G League unless they tell me once they're on an NBA club, last year he was in the G League.
Your development stops. I mean, they have coaches and in the G League, but it's not like the part method breakdown drills that you get in college. And plus, college is a place – you get to meet friends.
Sure.
You know, they're going to be lawyers who you go to college with. You might need later on in life. Or that's where you get to learn how to make mistakes and grow up and enjoy, you know, being in college. Even if that's 2 years or 3 years, but I haven't heard that much about this kid being that great.
Right.
So he's making a big, big mistake. Go to college, man.
Yeah,
well,
man.
He's a McDonald's All-American. I guess the other thing I don't understand.
Even the big kid, though, not to cut you off, what's this guy? Zion Williamson, right? He's the big star coming out of high school. Could be the next LeBron. He's thick. I mean, he's a 6'7 or 6'8 kid, but he's like 250, 260. Thick kid. can jump out of the gym, won the dunk contest at the McDonald's thing again. But everybody looks at it as the next big thing, going to Duke, right?
Yeah,
already
smart.
Signed, going to Duke, and he's going to be there. But he's going to get that 1 year of Coach K.
Ingram got 1 year, and as much as I hate Duke, 1 year under Coach K is like having 2.5 years of college of knowledge and basketball skills, and you keep that relationship. I mean, Ingram still talks to Coach K about his current game in the NBA. So,
yeah,
you never can, you know, take away from the experience of a college and college coaches.
Well, here's the thing, and I just don't understand this. If guys in the G League, they can go down there. A guy can score 40 points a game if he's that good. That guy gets called up to the NBA, maybe he scores 5 points. I mean, there's a distinct difference between the level of the G League and the NBA, and every guy in that league.
Well, even high school, though, Fred.
Right. Oh, yeah,
you're going from high school to the G League.
Right, but every guy in the G League is a man trying to make a living, is a man trying to support himself or his family, is a man trying to pursue a dream. And you have some kid come in here, and you've got men.
They'll eat him alive.
Men who are trying, who have tried for years to make it to the big time.
Yes.
And you think they're going to step aside for a 19-year-old kid?
Yeah.
I think that kid will have more trouble in the G League than he would in the NBA.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No question, because, you know, at least the team will kind of guide you along. They want to protect their investment. But the G League,
No. No. Or college. College is going to guide you along.
Exactly.
College is going to let you develop and work on some of your weaknesses. Whereas you go to the G League, you're on your own. You're like Fred said, you're facing men, guys that are journeymen, that are like, hey, this is my last and final shot to have a great season to get me into the NBA. I'm taking no prisoners.
I
don't care if you're 19 or not. I'm coming at you.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll take him out and get him drunk at night.
All of that.
You know, it's crazy. I don't know what's wrong with these young kids today. I mean, basketball is a great sport, but, boy, we got to do something about these kids that think that they're all that they can come out that early.
All right, Vic, let's go.
Yeah.
Come on now, Vic. Come on now.
Come on, Vic.
Vic, one more time. Let's go.
Come on now. Big Game James Worthy in the house, y'all.
Hey, Dodger fans, starting Monday, we are giving you the chance to win Dodgers tickets every weekday morning with Dan Patrick at 7:45, and again every afternoon with Petros and Money at 2:20. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. From the only station that gets you into the Dodger game, AM 570, LA Sports. Well, we decided that going to the G League was a bad call. What are some of the other calls?
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Well, guys, we'll start with this. Vic talked about Danilo Gallinari returning to the Clippers lineup tonight, but it might not be his choice to return to the lineup. Now, he did an interview with Fox Sports Prime Ticket a couple of days ago, and he expressed to them that the Clippers are strongly encouraging him to play through that finger injury that's been ailing him for the last couple of weeks. Vic obviously mentioned the injury to Milos Teodosic. He's out with the injury, and they basically need all hands on deck, no pun intended, as they try to make a push to the postseason. But Gallinari says he's not 100%, but the team is pushing him to play, so he's going to agree to. But Big Game James, good call or bad call for the Clippers to encourage Gallo to play through a hand injury that he might not feel comfortable playing with?
Hey, that's sports. That's big business. They want you on the floor. But for me, if I'm not 100% and if I don't feel like I can go, they got the same situation with Kawhi Leonard down in San Antonio. He's not playing. So, yeah, you got to be careful. If you're injured, if you don't think you can go, I don't think you should be forced to play in any situation, whether you're trying to make the playoffs or not. That's my opinion.
Rodney?
Yeah. You know, you can be forced to play when you know you're not right. You know, and in certain injuries that you know you can work with and play with. But as a shooter, if it's your hand, that's things that, you know, look, I'm not going to be accurate with my hand. I'm not going to make the shots because my hand is off. if my shoulder is hurting as a quarterback, you know, I can't make the throws, I'm going to let people know I can't make that throw. And it's going to look bad on me at the end of the day, because nobody cares if you're injured, if you're out there playing. And he's letting them know, look, I'm not the same guy because my hand is there and I can't play the same way. So, you know what? It's a bad call for the organization to force him to do that.
And Fred, your thoughts?
Kevin, how many games has Gallinari played in this year?
You can probably count them on one hand, Fred.
I mean, the guy has missed the majority of the season, and he was their big guy they signed during the offseason. This was the missing piece of the puzzle. So now he's not going to go again. What a waste of a year. And what a waste of a signing. He brought absolutely nothing to the table for the Clippers. And, you know, I don't know.
And you want him to do it now?
No. You know what? No. Let him sit out, because he hasn't made any impact anyway.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, another similar situation is Isaiah Thomas set out all those games and then finally tried to come in and play, and he wasn't 100%. And he didn't look up to par. So I don't know. That's a tough situation. Is it on his shooting hand? If it is, I don't think I would deal with it.
Yeah, and it's the same hand that he injured, remember, over the summer when he was playing overseas and he punched a guy.
Yep.
That's the exact same hand, and he missed time with a glute injury. 19 games, by the way. That's how many games he's played for the Clippers this season. Parts of 19 games total. Gallo, at this point in his career, probably not headed to the Hall of Fame to be with James Worthy. But some guys are. We actually have the list. Now, it's not officially going to be announced until this weekend at the Final Four, but according to Woj over at ESPN, Steve Nash, Grant Hill, Jason Kidd, and Mo Cheeks are going to be the finalists, or are going to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, some other big-time names who apparently will not make the cut are Ray Allen, Chris Webber, and Rudy Tomjanovich. Good call or bad call to induct these four men into the Basketball Hall of Fame to be with you, big game?
Yeah, I mean, Mo Cheeks. I love Mo Cheeks. Philadelphia won a championship. And forgive me, the music was playing. Who are the other?
So we have Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd, for sure.
Steve Nash.
No doubt.
And Grant Hill.
Absolutely. All four legitimate. Should be in. Have to go in. And, you know, Ray Allen. Not everyone gets in the first year. I'm sure Ray Allen will get in. But the ones that are getting in deserve it. They've made tremendous contributions to the game. And congratulations.
How about you, Fred?
I'm good with it. All were solid. All made an impact on the game. I mean, I have to tell you, I err on the side of James, who's in the Hall of Fame. If he likes him, I love him.
How about you, Rod?
Yeah, I'm good with it. I also think that, you know, these guys are certainly deserving, but Ray Allen is certainly deserving too. And I don't know if the Celtic backlash that he's feeling from Rondo and some of the other guys that came out against him is affecting this. But Ray Allen is a guy that deserves to be in it. But if we've learned anything today from Big Game James, is that, you know, when you don't get in the first time, you got to be humble and you got to let them know, hey, I'm just happy to be nominated, and maybe next time I get in, and that may happen to Ray Allen.
No doubt. Now we'll move on to New Orleans. Anthony Davis, of course, one of the best players in the league. Some believe he could be the MVP this year, considering where the Pelicans are sitting in the playoff race and not having Boogie Cousins by his side. But he sent out a pretty interesting tweet the other day, polling his followers as to whether or not he should shave his trademark unibrow. Now, the votes that have come in I just checked a few minutes ago. It's still 50-50 right now, so it's a close race. Whether or not he's being serious about this or not, I'm not really sure. But obviously, this has been his trademark since he was one of those super freshmen at Kentucky a few years back. So, good call or bad call for AD to consider shaving off his trademark unibrow, big game?
Atlas didn't cut off his hair, man.
That's right. Big game, you didn't take off your goggles. Come on.
Don't mess with the brow, boy. That's what got you here. And that's what's going to keep you afloat. Keep the brows.
How about you, Rod?
Yeah, keep your look, man. That's his signature, man. You know what I mean? We're in an age where, you know, you can possibly make as much off the court as you can on the court. So use it. Use the brow, man. Unibrow is your nickname. Go use it. Go get some endorsements with it and embrace the whole thing.
Fred, you a fan of the unibrow?
Yeah, I don't mind the unibrow, but I do mind this. I'm going to ask people what they think I should do. Who votes for me to shave the unibrow? You know what? That's not up to anybody else but you.
That's social media. Twitter.
Yeah, but you can open that up and say, hey, what do you think?
Okay. You get a million clicks, Fred.
I get a million clicks. And what happens if 999,000 of them say shave it? Don't do that.
Okay, here's a question.
And you don't.
Here's a question. You think Fred Rogan should shave and see what he looks like bald? Right in. He'd look good bald.
Right in. And if enough people write in, I'll do it on the show on the 11 o'clock news.
Yeah, I like it.
Channel 4, we'll shave my head. And Fred, you know what I mean? You're going to get 2 million clicks, and you may have, like, endorsements for hair growth products.
Like Rogaine or something.
What do you think that pays?
He's ready to shave it now.
We're ready to go.
What's that pay? All right, Kevin.
Andy Reid, head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, has not won a Super Bowl as a head coach. He was a member of an assistant coach with the Green Bay Packers when they defeat the Patriots back in the day. But he was actually doing an interview with NFL media the other day and actually told the interviewer he would give up a pinky toe. One of his pinky toes for the opportunity or just for a guarantee that he would win a championship, win a Super Bowl. Good call or bad call to give up a limb or part of your limb for a championship? James, I know you have a couple to your name. Would you add a few more if you gave up, say, your index finger?
If I was desperate and if the pinky toe wasn't functional, I don't need it anyway. You know, I might give up the pinky toe if I didn't think I needed it to walk or run. Yeah, if I was desperate. No, I wouldn't give up.
No?
I would not. No, I'm not giving up a limb, man. Come on. I'm not giving up a limb.
How about you, Rod? You went to a Super Bowl. You almost got a victory. Close loss. Would you give up your pinky toe?
And it hurt. My family cried for weeks after we lost to the Patriots when I was in Carolina. But no. Unless it's a frostbitten black toe.
for a whole lot of money, I might get
cut off anyway. Then you don't feel at all. No, you're not giving up any limbs for a ring, man. Come on, that's ridiculous.
How about you, Fred?
I just don't think I would deform myself for the chance to win something.
No.
Look. Now I don't know the function of the pinky toe. and what you, I mean, if I didn't have it, could I still walk properly?
A lot of function for the pinky toe, Fred.
Well, I'm not aware of those, Rodney. I don't know if I could walk properly or not. And I know there are those that have suffered the loss of the pinky toe. But I just don't think you would deform yourself to win something. So I say bad call.
All right. That's good call, bad call for the day, gentlemen.
All right.
Thank you.
Nice job,
Kevin.
Thank you.
We're at the Rays Lounge at the Hollywood Park Casino. We've been here since noon. We'll be here till 2. One final segment with James and Rodney on AM 570 LA Sports. All right, as we wrap things up here at the Rays Lounge at the Hollywood Park Casino, we're joined by the coach, Dave Miller. Dave, thanks for stopping by.
Hey, I was just driving in Inglewood, and I heard that you guys, at lunchtime, it's my favorite show, but when you put Big Game James Worthy
My co-worker on television is right. Spectrum, Coach Miller, also a great trainer, has insight to the game, probably over 40 years of experience, a walking encyclopedia when it comes to sports and knowledge. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing great. It's great to see you guys.
You're training too, Coach, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm trying to get slim and trim like Fred and you and Big Game James. I get my mile in a day. And,
right on.
You know, I just enjoy listening to you guys every day at lunch.
Well, he's training personally, but he also trains a lot of athletes who come here in the summer. The Westbrooks, the Durants, and a lot of NBA players, they find Coach Miller because he has that off-season drill insight.
But that's the great thing about being in Los Angeles, because all NBA players come to L.A., whether it's to work out at the Clippers site, the Lakers site. This is the hotbed for basketball in the summertime.
So I can bring my 12- and 15-year-old to you, Dave, and you.
Well, I run him into shape, right? Yep, and he comes as my guest. I have a camp for 21 years in Manhattan Beach, mbcamp.com.
Now he's getting ready to get in your pocket now.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know why? James Worthy is my Hall of Famer that comes to speak and give knowledge to the kids.
Money.
And any friend of James is a friend of mine.
Right on.
Coach, you jumped in here really late. We're almost out of time, but let's get your thoughts on the Lakers this year and Lonzo Ball.
Well, I tell you, I think he's got great promise. But the first thing with Lonzo Ball, I think he's one of the best point guards in the league, floor vision and the pace. The Lakers play really well. But what he's got to do, and again, James and I are very opinionated, so this might tick off some people. He's got to change his shot. He shoots the ball with that motion coming up and down. And where did he develop that shot? Shooting at 10-foot baskets when he was 6, 7, and 8 years old. So you can't break – basketball like life is a game of habits. But I love when he's on the floor. I think he's a winner. But he's not. And I heard James. This is why I actually drove by. I was going past Inglewood High School, heard James was here. To me, and again, that's the Hall of Famer. When he tells me to jump, I say how high.
Please, come
but
on.
To me, Kyle Kuzma is the best rookie on that team. But where James comes through with Hart as a coach and as a player on the floor that James was, Hart was coached by Jay Wright, one of my good friends at Villanova. Yeah. And he brings so much knowledge and so many things you don't see. But Kyle Kuzma, Fred, was the steal of the NBA draft. Props to the front office.
100%.
Hart is great. And listen, Lonzo Ball is going to be very good. But listen, if you don't fix that shot, I'm going to let you shoot
that
shot.
Okay, but, Coach, how do you fix that shot? If he's done it since he was 6 years old, like you say, shooting on a 10-foot rim, because I didn't let my boys do that. I was like 7-foot and then 8-foot. I raised it as time went up. My dad did that for me. But how do you fix that shot now that he's in the NBA?
Well, listen, as a college coach for 20 years, we said you never mess with anybody's shot, Rodney. You know, that's just a cardinal sin.
Jamal Wilkes, for instance.
Exactly, because if it works and it's broke, you keep it. But what you do is you get into a gym, and when I say thousands – I mean thousands. He's got to go in there, and he's got a form shoot. And I wish we were on TV, Fred.
Mm, right.
Because, see, the great shooters, like I coach Peja Stojakovic in New Orleans with Byron Scott.
Yeah.
These kids come in, and they want to jack up threes. 7-year-olds want to jack up threes.
Right.
The greatest, Chris Paul, walks in, and you stand 1 foot in front of the basket, and you form shoot. Your shooting hand, your left hand, if you're a righty, is by your side. And with some kids that use motion, we take a rope, and we tie it if you're driving, and you can envision. So I put the ball in front, and you shoot the ball with your legs. You don't. Your shooting hand, which I'm showing you now, is an L. That's a golf tee. The ball sits on it. It never sits on your palm. It sits on your finger pads. And Lonzo Ball should shoot 500. And see, nobody knows this. When you take a rim and you take that rim off the backboard, two NBA basketballs can fit inside a rim at the same time. That's what us teachers of shooting do. And so what you tell a kid, if I can put two basketballs side by side fit in this rim, all I got to get you to do is bend and extend and follow through and just get it up over the lip of the rim. Some people say put it over the front of the rim. Some shooting coaches say shoot for the back of the rim. I'm telling you, if you get it up and over and you have backspin, you have a chance to make shots. And if he can fix that shot, now he becomes a threat. Because if I played against the Lakers, I would have everybody go under. And you saw that game the other night where he missed three. And Luke said, hey, I'm glad he had the courage to take those shots. That sounds good. As a coach.
That's just trying to encourage a young rookie.
You know what Hubie Brown told me one time when this guy was shooting open shots and he missed six in a row? And Hubie said, why the hell are you shooting it? Right. He said, because I'm open, coach. And Hubie looked at him and he said, there's a reason you're open.
Hilarious.
When we have more time, spend time with us, will you?
Come on back.
You jumped in here at the very end. We got to go.
Listen, if you pick up my valet tab for $5, you'll have to tell me to leave.
always asking for money, Coach.
Look at you.
Coach, thanks for coming down. Thanks to everybody who spent time with us. James, Rodney, have a good weekend, and Petros and Money are next.
Happy Easter to everyone. Happy Easter.